Well, we are still in the Easter season. We are still celebrating and will continue to celebrate the risen Christ, the one who was put to death for being God's own Son and was raised to life by the hand of the one who created him. He is risen. He's risen indeed. Amen. It is in that faith. We weren't there to see it. We can't prove it. And so it's of faith that we proclaim that good news, that God has conquered death and made it available, that same blessing of eternal life in Christ, made that available for all who believe. And it's in that celebration and in that spirit that we continue today in a series called Abundant, a series looking at the gifts that come along with faith, those things that we can count on, those things that mark those who believe. They are always there. They are gifts of those who believe, and they are the signature. They are the fruit of our faith, these abundant gifts that we've been given in salvation. We've looked at abundant love and how that love is so abundant it causes forgiveness to happen. Last week we looked at joy, a joy so abundant that it doesn't make sense. It's a joy that we are blessed to possess even in the worst of circumstances. It's a gift of faith, a gift that God gives abundantly that we cannot see or touch or, but we can feel it and we can share it. And so in that spirit today, we continue searching and wondering about these abundant gifts that God has given us, with a focus today on hope, the abundant hope that we can count on, that we have seen in the faithful before us, that we have seen in the faithful around us. And so today we explore hope. And I wonder, what is hope for you? What do you hope for? What do you hope for? Just go ahead and say it. What do you hope for today? Peace? Amen. Love? What's that? Eternal life? Amen. Amen. Hope is a neat thing, because as I can see you understand it, I think if we polled the world, if we stood on the city streets and asked, what do you hope for, we'd see material possessions, we'd see cars and houses, riches, and we see something different in those who have faith. Hope is more than a wish. Hope is more than a want or a desire. It is something deeper than that. And so today we're going to explore what is hope and hopefully find a full, in-depth definition of hope. And so let's start with the scriptures, and we'll continue to go into the scriptures as we compile our definition of hope. Today's is from Isaiah the prophet, chapter 43. These are verses 1 through 2 and 16 through 21. But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a new way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Amen. And so what is hope? It is more than a verb, but it is a verb. It's something we do. We can hope. But of that type of hope in the scriptures, there's very little. Hope almost doesn't exist. When we look at the word hope and its definition in the worldly sense, there's no hope in the scriptures. Because the hope that exists in the scriptures is more than a wish, it's more than a want, it's more than a human desire, it is beyond that. It's beyond just a verb. It's not just something we do. First of all, individualism itself was not really a thing. Individualism has swept over the Western world in such a way in the last 200 to 250 years that we can almost not comprehend these words. We have become individuals. These words are not for or even to individuals. Jacob is not a person. Jacob is a people. Israel is not a person, it's a people. Individualism came with the Western world. That notion of self and self-promotion and selfishness. It's such a contagious thing that we have to intentionally reset our minds really any time we get into scripture, because selfishness and self-promotion did not exist. There was a desire for wellness of yourself, but the scriptures are written from a place of people, not person. We have eyewitnesses that see things and bear witness to it, but everything that is the prophets and the Psalms, they are of the people. It's an entirely different mindset than we are used to. And so when we talk about hope, this is not a hope that we're building upon one person's testimony to something that happened to that one person. This is God rescuing Jacob, the people, Israel, the people, reaching in and saving them. So when we think about hope, and we so often say, I hope for, we have to first understand that, yes, hope is a verb. It is something we do, but it's something that in scriptures, it's happening as a people, as God's people. the hope of God's people is not a wish or a want. That is not the abundant hope we're searching for today. It is the hope of Scripture, and it's the hope of our faith. And so I invite us to continue in this exploration at what else hope may be. In Romans 15, it says this: "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, 'The insults of those who insult you have fallen on me.' For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." All of Scripture, all of those stories, all of those times in which God reaches in and saves God's people exist that we may know the endurance and the encouragement that we may have hope. Can you have a verb? Their hope is a noun. It's a thing. And so it goes on. From that verse, it says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will praise you among Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name.' Again it says, 'Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people.' Again, 'Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, let all the peoples extol him.' And again, Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him, the Gentiles will hope.'" There, it's a verb again. In that same chapter, in those same two paragraphs, we might have hope, and we may hope. And it concludes with this line: "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." It is a noun. You can have hope, possess it, carry it. And what a glorious thing to carry, because you can possess hope when you have nothing else. That's my favorite part of hope. That's the part I get to witness, and you as well, in those who are facing the hardest things in life, those who are facing death, whether it's their own death or the loss of a loved one. Hope marks a person of faith. It's so abundant that it's abundantly clear that they have something beyond this world, beyond what they can carry with them. Those who face so much difficulty that it makes you wonder why and how do you have such hope and have it in such abundance. answers there, but it's because we have not completed our definition. Is hope a verb or is hope a noun? And I would say that the hope of Scripture, the hope of our faith, the hope that God gives us in great abundance is both. But it's never one or the other, it's always both. That the fullness of hope is both. And so I offer another scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little, while you may have had to suffer in grief in all kinds of trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor in Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Here we find completion, the full definition of hope. The full definition of hope is both verb and noun, looking forward to something with reason for confidence and expectation of fulfillment. Hope is that, to look forward to something with reason for confidence and expectation of fulfillment. There's not very many words out there that can be defined as both verb and noun at the same time. And there it is. You're looking forward. That's a doing. That's a verb. But you're doing it while possessing confidence and expectation. Those are nouns. To possess it, it has to be a thing. And so it is both. It is two verb with noun. It is two hope with hope. To look forward to something with reason for confidence and expectation of fulfillment. It is so great. It is so great that it breaks our definitions. It breaks our understanding of the language. And yet it's so evident in those who have it. It's abundant. I meet with families of those who've recently passed away. I can see it instantly. It is instantly and abundantly clear who has hope. Hope beyond this world. Hope in Christ, hope in faith, hope that they can't explain, They just possess it and it exudes from them. And it's just as clear those who don't. This is one of those waves we experience in ministry. I went the last 2 months without a funeral, and I did two this week, and I've got one tomorrow. It just happens in these waves like that. And every meeting with the families is so different. And you never know which one it's going to be. And you try to share it with every one of them, and some of them, they're sharing it with you. It's amazing. It's amazing to see how devastated people can be. And it's okay to be broken. It's okay to hurt. It's okay to feel devastated. But it's not okay for that to be the final thing. It's not okay for that to be what possesses you. It's not okay to carry that through the entirety of your life alone. There's more there. There's something that we have seen, that we have reason for confidence because we've seen it in others and we've seen it in the scriptures, that we can have so much confidence that we can expect it for ourselves, that the death we face will be overcome, that it is not the final say. When we take the fullness of that definition, that we can look forward to something and have reason for confidence. Those reasons have already been listed in from the prophet who said, "You've passed through the waters, and I was with you. When you pass through the rivers, I will be with you." When we look at the story of Israel, the story of God's people, and everything they faced, God reached out and saved them. That's what the scriptures are. They are the foundation. They are the building blocks of our confidence that we may have hope and have it in abundance. But what I really love about that last scripture we heard from 1 Peter is from where it comes and why we have this expectation of fulfillment. It comes from outside ourselves. It's like having a safety deposit box. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you. It's kept in heaven for you who, through faith, are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice. There's something to that. That it's ours, and yet it's not ours yet. It's not fully ours. It's something we can have, and it's something we can carry with us, but yet it is reserved in a place that if we humans could go and open that safety deposit box and take it, we'd take every bit of it. That's our human nature. That's our selfishness. That's our greed. If we could go and access it, we'd diminish that resource already. It has to be kept somewhere outside of ourselves, or we would have eaten it. We would have devoured it by now. It is kept in heaven that we may have it in hope, in faith, that we may know that it is ours by faith. And the word that he uses is that it's an inheritance. It is yours. Not because you deserve it. It is ours. Not because we've done anything to earn it. It is completely ours. We have full rights to it. Simply by inheritance. By being a child of God, it is yours. By being a child of God, it is ours. Upon that, our hope can be built. Our hope can be carried. If we could carry it on our bodies, it'd get stolen. If we could store it away in our earthly domain, it would rot away. If we could access it ourselves, we'd devour it. And so this great inheritance is kept for us, that we may look forward to it with great expectation of fulfillment. And it's in such abundance that we can possess it even now. Never in its fullness, until the coming of the salvation that is to be revealed in the last time. We, the church, in all its denominations, all proclaim a certain way to salvation, a certain path, a certain understanding. We even say what we think it means and what it is, and yet the fullness of salvation is coming. We do not know it. And yet we divide ourselves, the very people that God is reaching out to save, we divide ourselves by the definition of salvation, by who is in and out, by who can and can't be. And yet these words that we shared today, those are words of people working through that. They're recognizing that salvation is first for Israel, and then for the Gentiles. And yes, it was one and then the other, but it's for both. That took a lot of work. That took a lot of digging deep into faith for them to write those words. You know how difficult it may be for one nation to say to another that we are one. That this work that God has done in Christ Jesus is not for one church or one denomination or one person or one nation. It's for all of humankind. When we carry our hope in this world, it is for you. And by your faith, you are an heir to it. And by your faith, you will one day see the fullness of salvation. But when we carry that hope, we must also carry it as a people. Not as a church, not as a nation, but as a people. A people that can acknowledge that we might not know the fullness of salvation yet. That God still has this reserve of hope in heaven that we have not seen or felt or touched until its time, it has not been revealed. And yet when we look back and we see the magnificence with which God has intervened with people, touched lives, changed hearts, shaped the world, and shaped you. That gives us hope and great expectation and confidence for what is to come in His salvation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all that we do not yet know about God. Amen.